Okay, for an introduction, and those who know me, I am going here to Proverbs 21, verse 9. It's an interesting verse, and it's about life living on the edge. And maybe you feel like you are living on the edge, or if you're not living on the edge, maybe you should be. That's what this verse seems to tell us. It says, it's better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. That's the King James, yeah. That verse appears in another place exactly like that. So I've thought about that verse a lot, and I talked about it in our Dundalk Bible study on Tuesday, and I'm just going to talk about it right now just for a few minutes because it's an important idea, the idea of being on the corner of the housetop versus being in the place where you are pushed and shoved by all manner of thinking. Because the corner of the housetop is a place that requires some skill, right? How many of you are afraid to be up high on a ladder on the corner of a housetop? Yeah, you don't have to raise your hands. That's okay. I don't even like driving over the Bay Bridge anymore. It's like, you know, especially going east, you know, where you come through the, you know, whatever, it used to be the toll plaza, but it's not there now, and you're going like straight up there, and then it hooks. You know, there's a reason for that, you know. There's a reason for that. It was to create a right angle with the channel so that boats could come through. You know, that's why it just doesn't go up and over. It curves like that to create that. So I don't know if you know that little known Maryland history fact there for you. But, you know, dwelling on the corner of the housetop really requires discipline, definition, balance, understanding. And it really is a place of grace and mercy and closeness to, you know, really, if you are in that place, if you are in the high place, then obviously we are above the things that are going on in the wide room. You know, the Garden of Eden was really a corner of the housetop. That's what God created it to be. It was a place where Adam and Eve could fellowship with him. It was a place where Adam and Eve were one as man and wife. It was a place that God put them. It was the earth was without form. It was without void. It was chaotic. It was, you know, a wreck and a ruin, as the first chapter of Genesis describes it. And then God spoke, and there was light. There was definition. Things could be seen. And in the corner, at the corner of the housetop, you can see and you have vision. You know, Adam and Eve, the lie that the devil introduced to them was that if you eat of this tree, you will not surely die. You will have an expanded understanding. New horizons will be open to you. Let me just tell you one thing. There is only one horizon, okay? One horizon. The sun comes up. There is a curve of the earth. One horizon. We need new horizons. Well, that's a deception. Like the sun comes up there, and it goes down over there. That's the west. I think that's east. That's west. But we don't need the expanded understanding of new thinking and new understanding, especially when we can't comprehend everything. It's not in our capacity to understand all things. And that was the lie of the devil. If you open yourself to this, life will be different. I don't know if he said wonderful, but he said you will know things that you've never known before. Truth. That is the truth. But what did it do to the man and the woman? Immediately, they understood something about themselves that was different, and they hid away from the Lord. And when they heard his voice, they recognized something different about themselves. That was a corner. God had given them a space to live in, and he said, don't step out of that space. The moment you do, there is something waiting for you. It is this brawling, I'm sorry, the Bible says woman. I'm sorry that it says that, but it's in all of us. We all have this kind of thing that wrestles with us and tries to put us in a corner. That's the thing about the room here. This room is not round. It has corners itself. It's got a lot of doors that fly open. And you ever notice that? It's like, yes, the more information that you allow into your thinking process, the more you wrestle with things, the more you try to understand. But in the corner of the housetop, in that corner, there is definition, there is, it's called circumspection in Ephesians. Walk circumspectly, walk carefully. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. We can delight in his way. We can live life on the edge. It was the way that Daniel and the three Hebrew boys lived. Here's a big table. The king brought all of this. Look at this, this kind of beast. And there's all kinds. It's like Fogo de Chao. You got 17 kinds of meat right here. And they keep bringing it to you. You ever been there? Anybody be there? It's like, it's a guy's place, man. It is for men and meat. That's for sure. Girls like it too. Women like it too. But it's, you know, it is like lots of meat and everything like that. But Daniel and the Hebrew boys said, you know, we can't eat that stuff. We can't. We live on an edge. We live in a corner. God has told us that it's better for us to eat a different way. And this is what the world is looking for. What would Babylon have been without the witness of Daniel and those boys? We can read the story there, and we can see what happened to the king because of the testimony of someone who determined, I will live on the edge. I don't need to know it all. I just need to know the important thing. And God gave it to us. God gave it to us. The commandments are exceptionally simple and absolutely right. Hear, O Israel, there is one God, and don't have any gods before him. Like if we could just get that simple understanding into our hearts and minds totally, then we would be living on the edge and we would have a great view of everything. And then it would take care of all the other commandments. I have one God. I'm not going to make anything with my hands to worship. I'm not going to take his name in vain. I'm going to honor him and meet on the Sabbath. I'm going to not kill. I'm going to not steal. I'm not going to steal somebody's wife. And I'm not going to covet or bear false witness. Number 10 is coveting. When the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not covet. I shall not want. And that's really what living on the edge is all about. And people are looking for it. I can tell you, I know it. I know it. I worked in the world, a very strange and liberal place called the news media. I did it for a couple of decades. And there were people there who recognized Bible Steve. That was my nickname. And there was like, you know, well, we had a department, sports department, four Steves. There was Bible Steve, there was Polish Steve, there was Jewish Steve, and then there was Evil Steve. And I was Bible Steve. So, it's the truth. It's the truth. And, but I can remember, like, explaining the Word of God to people, Jewish guys. The Word of God. I know what your feasts are about. I know who Esther is. I know who Moses is. I know what the commandments mean. I know what the Passover is. It was like I had an edge because I lived in this book and on the corner of the housetop. I knew the God of all grace, and they recognized it, and they wanted it. They wanted it. It's, you know, it's a great story. People asked. People who lived totally opposite of this book would ask questions about what is God all about? Actually, he just wants to know you. He wants to know you. The fall fractured something, and God came back right away, came right into the garden to find the man and the woman. Hey, you left the corner. You went to the wide room. Where are you? I've got to bring you back to myself. That was his goal. And this is for us to be these kinds of people, to live on a corner. To live on the corner of the house up. The narrow way is the way, Jesus said, that leads unto life, and there's few that find it. We have found it. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, you have found the narrow way that leads to life and life more abundant. And if we live on the corner of the housetop, people will see us, and they will want to be like us. And we don't have to wrestle around with that brawling thing. And the good news is that brawling thing gets worn out every now and then. She'll fall asleep. someday. It's amazing because we are walking with the Lord. Okay? All right. So that's a little introduction for you this morning. All right. We're going to pray. We're going to pray for the offering. And there'll be some music as you give. And then Pastor Shabelli, you'll have a message for us. It's amazing. So Lord, we thank you for being with us today. We pray for this time of worship that is the offering. We thank you for your grace and your peace. We thank you, Lord, that you've given us great definition by your word. We can live, Lord, we can live in these things. And bless all of these tithes and offerings and use them for your glory to share the finished work message in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in our cities, around the world. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you believe God's faithful, stand with me and open up your Bibles to Psalm chapter 42. And we're going to read Psalm 42, and then also we're going to read 1 Peter, 2 Peter chapter 1. Psalm 42, verse 1. As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. For I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God. For I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God, my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God. And turn Second Peter chapter 1, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Pray. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning. We are here to hear. We are present to tune into your voice, to understand your thoughts, to receive a word in season. Father, we pray this morning that you would anoint your servant, Pastor Shabelli. You would anoint our ears, our hearts, that we would receive all that you have for us, for we are your people and the sheep of your pasture. So bless this service for your glory in this message. In Christ's name, amen.
You may be seated. Good morning. When Pastor Steve was talking about the different Steves, I said before I got saved, I was the evil Steve. But God can turn every curse into a blessing. Made us a brand new person in Christ. I want to speak this morning about what it means to be a partaker and become an escaper. 2 Peter 1:4, it says that these precious promises are given to us, that by these we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Does anybody agree that there's a lot of corruption in the world? Yes. Hello. You know, I mean, just John 17, Jesus has a prayer, and in that prayer, he uses the word world 19 times in one prayer. And he talks about you're in it, but you're not of it. And the world, actually, in the original language, is that which is alien from and in opposition to the life of God. That's the world, the world. We're not talking about, you know, the mountains, the hills, the, you know, the forest and all that. We're talking about the world system, a system, the cosmos. Satan in 2 Corinthians 4:4 is the god of this world. He's the god of this world. So God placing us in this world, and when we get saved, he puts the divine nature, the person of the Holy Spirit comes into my life, transforms me. If anybody be in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things are passed away. Hallelujah for that. Amen. Goodbye, evil Steve, even though we have an old sin nature. But all things have become new, brand new. Say it today. I'm a new person in Christ. I'm a new person in Christ. All things are what? Gone. Partaker of the divine nature. And God has a great desire for you and I to be partakers of the divine nature moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. To be constantly participating as a partaker in fellowship with the nature of God whom he's placed in us. Isn't it amazing that God gave us the person of the Holy Spirit to live in us? Did you ever think about that? I mean, sometimes we I know that, you know that. But can you imagine, can you believe that God has placed himself in us? We are the, what? The temple. Our body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Wow. That's, what a miracle that is. What a miracle that is. If people that are out there that are either lost religiously, understood that God wants to come and live in them, what changed the Apostle Paul from being a murderer and persecutor of Christians? But God came in. Amen? Enter in the eternal. God came in. And so there's a tremendous amount of evil corruption surrounding us, and we're placed here and in the middle of it so we can be a testimony of who Jesus Christ is in this lost and dying world. And we become partakers of this divine nature. Now, in Psalm 42, you look at that psalm, boy, it just says about everything that could make you, if you don't read all of it, say, wow, this is incredible. A panting soul. That means out of breath, a thirsty soul, a poured out soul, a cast down soul, a disquieted soul, and a mourning soul. He gives you six conditions of the soul when it's void of God or void of fellowship with God. Yet he gives us this great promise, hope in God. Have hope in God. I shall praise him, for I know I will appear before him. Have hope in God. A constant expectation from God. So in this lost and dying world that we are in, with an old sin nature, it is amazing that we have the opportunity to be a partaker with God of this divine nature. And I was thinking about Lot this morning in Genesis 19, verses 17 through 20. In those verses, he is told to escape to the mountain. I'm going to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. That's what God said. I want you to escape to the mountain. And he said to him, don't look back. That's a good little message, isn't it? Don't look back. How many people just like live in yesterday? I was almost thinking of that Beatles song, but that would have made me live in yesterday. Okay? Because the troubles that seem far away are here still. There's trouble on every side, 2 Corinthians 4:7, John 14, 27, 30. So, and we think about it. And we think about, wow, don't think about the past. Don't look behind you. Lot, don't even glance. Wifey, came out of the corner, right? And she looked behind and she became what? Pillar of salt. Then he said to Lot, don't linger in the plain. Wow, I can linger. We can sometimes linger in the plain. Oh, we're not looking back. We're not going to make a trip back to Sodom and Gomorrah, but we're going to linger in the plain. We get saved, or someone gets saved, and they just stay where they are, and there's never any growth. Lingering in the plain. Very interesting. Or I can do what? Escape to the mountain. I can escape to the mountain. And that's why 2 Peter is so important, 1:4, that we are, by the promises of God, we become partakers of the divine nature. And as I am a partaker of the divine nature on a daily basis, then I escape the corruption in the world through lust. Did you ever try to escape a bad habit? Now, some of you don't have any habit, bad habit, have never had a bad habit. And you try and try and try, and you get programmatic, and you get schedulized, and you look at this formula, this psychology, this philosophy, this program, this organization. Still there. Isn't it awesome when God does it, you don't even remember when it happened? He just takes it. Amen? He just takes it away. Takes it away. I tried everything I could think of to get myself to a place where I'd stop using narcotics. Started when I was about 14 years old. Went on for a good 16 years. Oh, I tried everything. With everybody's advice. Everybody had all kinds of ideas. And nothing worked. One day, after I got saved, it just was what? Gone. It was gone. God took it. Amen? Amen. You ever been impatient? Nah. One day you got patience. What happened? The corruption in me, the impatience, the flesh, and then it's gone. All of a sudden, you're a patient person. It's amazing. How'd that happen? You were just being a participator or a partaker in the divine nature of God, and God is what? Very what? Very patient. Have you ever been controlled by sorrow, and sometimes for a good reason? And sorrow just seems to linger, and on it goes, and it's days and months, and there should be a time when it ends, and there just isn't any joy. And then God comes in and floods your soul with his joy. And it comes in, and you realize you've been trying to be joyful. Smile, you know? Can't even put a smile on. Nothing to smile about. Then God brings it in. And he says it's the joy that comes from God. Participate with his divine nature. That's how I escape. And there's so much to escape out there. She's laughing. It's awesome. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13 puts us all in this category. No test or trial or temptation, which is common to man, but God is faithful, who has provided a way of escape that you can bear it. You can handle it. How many people have woken up as you get older? This bone hurts, and that those bones, and this is going. I was lying there yesterday and thinking about, will I ever get off of this bed? You know, I don't know what the heck was going on. And then I said something. Why haven't I asked God? You know, sometimes we just kind of fall prey to all the things that are going on, whether it's a virus or a headache or a health problem or whatnot. How about just saying, God, lift me up? Hello? Oh, that's hyper-spiritual, isn't it? We wouldn't want to believe that God could raise Lazarus from the dead, would we? By the way, did God do that?
Yes.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Huh? Wow. Son of the widow Nain. We become a partaker of God's divine nature. And so there's a way of escape. And I think it is awesome. How many times in the New Testament do we see the disciples, the apostles escaping? By the way, they escaped the Galilean fishing business. to become apostles and preachers of the gospel. Amen? Peter escaped fishing in Luke 5, and in John 21, he went back fishing again, and Jesus came again, and Jesus loved him right where he was at, and he escaped. He always had a desire to go back into this Galilean fishing business. I don't know what it was, you know? But Jesus had called him to something else, and as long as he was a partaker of the divine nature given to him by God, he would have no problem escaping. It would just be happening. But as soon as he became a partaker of his old sin nature, the world system, and the things that are around him, he's right back there doing it again. Have you ever noticed that? Sometimes we think, like, oh, that's gone. That's gone. That habit's gone. That problem's gone. All of a sudden. Whew. Somebody told me recently that they had stopped for 2 decades. They had a horrifying smoking habit. Don't get condemned if you smoke. I'm just giving you a little example. And he said it was gone. Like for 10 years it was gone. Then one day all of a sudden it popped back in. And because of a crisis, he just all of a sudden started lighting up again. Before you know it. You know, oh, that's gone forever. You know, the old sin nature is not eradicated when you get saved. It's still hanging around, isn't it? Yeah. And so God wants us to fellowship with the person of the Holy Spirit so we can be these incredible escapers. We go through trials, and there are tests, and there are difficulties. And by the way, how do you escape a relationship problem? I'm not answering that phone. You're not escaping. Don't escape. Don't escape by a phone. Don't escape the message. How? How do we escape a relationship problem, a marriage problem? You know how you escape a marriage problem? Oh, no, you're going to give us like some quick hit solution when I just as soon go to counseling for months or years or read 18 books. You escape a relationship problem by having a relationship with Jesus. Amen? And then you bring that relationship into your relationship problem, and you would be surprised what could happen. Now, don't get condemned if you have a relationship problem and you've done that and it's not working. By the way, God is very patient. Amen? Are you with me? A partaker of the divine nature. Any relationship, maybe something, there could be a situation in the church. Bring Christ into the relationship. Be a participator with God's divine nature. And then all of a sudden, the relationship that is taking place that isn't going the way you think it ought to, or the other person thinks it ought to, then all of a sudden, there's been deliverance. Amen? We're delivered. How many people just live in situations? How about a financial problem? I have a financial problem. Am I trusting in God? In that financial situation, am I looking to God? Am I going to be a partaker of his divine nature, knowing that he gives me all of his riches and he will add to me in his timing exactly what I need? You know, sometimes I was thinking about this one, something about Jonah here. I wrote down, I don't know what I did with it. But Jonah tried to escape God's will. When God wanted to use him so that Nineveh could escape. A destiny in hell. He's running away. He's running away. By the way, don't answer the question. Don't raise your hand. You ever try to escape God's will? Is that you again? Have you ever tried to escape God's will? Come on. I don't want you to sit back and think about your past and wrong decisions. I remember when Dr. Stevens said to me in 1982, God's calling you to be a preacher. I said, nah. You don't know what you're talking about. I said, I will never speak in front of people. I'm serious. When I went to teaching college for 4 years, when it came to doing my practicum, you got to do a 3-month practicum, teaching in a class in an elementary school, I quit. I quit school. I quit college. I said, I'm not doing that. I will not speak in front of anybody. I can't even speak in front of kids. Not going to happen. No, I actually quit and I went into engineering instead. I ain't got to talk to anybody. Just talk to a diagram and look at a building and say, how you doing to a piece of steel? That was very easy for me. said, I'm not going to speak to people. No, no. And then when pastor said to me, I think God's called you to be a preacher. I said, I love working with addicts. One-on-one. The one-on-one stuff. That's me. And he said, ha ha. He smiled and walked away. I was doing everything. By the way, I did so many different things in ministry to escape doing this. Oh, no, we have good Christian escapes. No, you know what I'm saying? Good Christian escapes. We find a way out by God's called us into this ministry, and I'm going to do this instead. Please, don't get introspective about anything. I'm just saying. God's called me to do this, and I'm going to do this instead. God called you to be a preacher. Oh, no, I know what I'm going to do. God's going to wants to make me a very lucrative businessman so I can bless the church. And then when you become a lucrative business person, you don't give anything anyway. I know what I'm talking about. Huh? But God says, be a partaker of the divine nature. How can we make it in this world if we're just trying to do it on our own? That it's a constant fellowship. That's how do I get delivered from human reason? Are you with me? How can you and I get delivered from human reason? We're reasonable people, aren't we? It's not very reasonable that things should be operating the way they're operating in the situations that are going on. I get delivered and I escape human reason, whether it's in business, in my family, in my own life, by what? Being a partaker of God's holy word. Amen? I become a partaker. That's why we think Bible college is so important, because in Bible, there's so much human reason, and much of the human reason that is good is what keeps me from God's word. Hello? Are you listening? Oh, I said the same thing. Oh, Bible school? I'm not going to Bible school. I've already been to engineering college. I've been to a teaching college. And by the way, all those years I was in college, I was as corrupt as you could be and as high as you could be during the courses and still passed. That just shows you the value of some things. Sorry, Pastor Eugene, but you know what I'm saying. No. Doped up going to engineering school. Doped up every. I'm telling you, it didn't matter. And I still got A's. I don't know what that says about that. Please, oh no, Pastor Bill, he's saying something. I went and got a very good education, and I was never that way. And I'm just giving you my example. What happened? And we don't realize that God is saying simply be a partaker of the divine nature. That's all, Lot. No matter what's going on, just come out of Sodom by being a participator in communion with me. How do we get delivered from our emotions? Anybody here got emotions of any type? No, we need to go from emotions to godly affections. Amen? There's a difference. The affections of God are in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, kindness, meekness, temperance, and all these things. I get delivered from emotions. I can get emotional about something. And it means I'm taking human thinking and reacting to it rather than living in God's affections and participating with his nature. Are you with me? So important. Simply being a participator and a partaker of his divine nature. You can hear about things that have taken place in life, situations, problems, difficulties, raising children, families, all that's going on in our world today. I'm either going to be involved with the corruption that's in the world. And have you noticed that the good corruption knows how to seep its way into Christianity? See, there's the evil side. We recognize it. Murder, drugs, you know, all the kind of things that are going on out there that are very evident to even lost people. This is wrong and evil. But it's the good side of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That becomes the dangerous thing. Just something good instead of something God. Hello? The biggest enemy, what does the devil use? He doesn't say, hey, Eve, why don't you stab your husband Adam in the throat with a knife? He doesn't say that. Why don't you kill him? Why don't you get him high? Why don't you do this? Why don't you do that? No, he says, why don't you go to this tree? and try this fruit. Fruit's good for you, right? That's what people tell me all the time. No, Snickers are good for me. Not bottled water, Coca-Cola. No, I'm only having fun. Please don't take this personally. All of our bodies are different. We can handle certain things. For $200 one time, I drank a bottle of heat ointment. Threw it up immediately and grabbed the $200 and walked away. I wasn't a Christian, but you shouldn't be drinking that heat ointment. It's not very good for you. But you'd be surprised what your body can take. But don't try it. Okay? So I want to be a partaker of the divine nature of God. I don't want to be an angry person. I want to be like Moses. By the way, when Moses was in Egypt, he endured as seeing he who was invisible. That's how he endured. The treasures of Egypt couldn't affect him. Being the son of Pharaoh's daughter was not going to lay claim to his life. But he said, I'm going to suffer affliction with the people of God. He could have ruled Egypt, ruled the entire world. He could have been in that place, but he said, I would rather suffer reproach and be a participator and a partaker. And you know, there's a lot of things that we've had choices to make about. Instead of running with wild people, wrong people, people of the world, people with bad habits, we've chosen to be here on Sunday morning instead of some dumb bar room. Hello? Or at one of these football parties they have before a game or something. Whatever you call it. They call that pandemic, right? No, I don't know. I'm just joking. I don't know what they call it. But I want to be a partaker of his divine nature. Not just on Sunday morning, not just on Wednesday night, but every moment of every day, fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit, being in the Word of God, getting initiations from God, being around the body, more than I'm around the world. Of course we have to work, I understand that. But being this partaker of people that have the divine nature of God. And then I escape drugs. I was talking to somebody the other day, he said like, hey, now that marijuana is illegal, I say, I know where you're going. Shut up. By the way, he was a former person that I pulled out of jail and brought him home. Okay? And now he's telling me, hey, did you hear the news in Massachusetts? I don't know about Maryland. In Massachusetts, you can now smoke marijuana legally. I don't know if that's even true. Is that true? I don't know. Huh? Some places there are. And I said, I know where you're going. You're going to use it as an excuse to go into the flesh and go back to your bad habits, and you're probably already in them anyway. I don't care what the law says. Huh? Wow, the law says you can drink gasoline today. You're going to do it? So some advice comes in and says it's good for you. A little drop of gasoline won't hurt. Wow. I'm not going to let the world control how I think. I'm not going to let my soul come to this place in Psalm 42. I'm going to be a partaker, and you and I are going to be partakers of his divine nature. And that's how we escape. How do you escape depression? Oh, that ever happened to anybody? Ever get depressed about something? Wow. I used to think in Africa, I say to myself, living in West Africa, is it ever going to be cool here? Every day was 110. It never let up. And I would say, this is good. I can't handle this anymore. And then God said, this is how it is. This is the weather, and it's always going to be that way. Every single day, there's no such thing as cool weather. It's just going to be hot, and you're going to sweat, and the sweat's good for you. Very good for you. Rid your body of all the impurities, and you got plenty of them. So I became a partaker of God's divine nature, and then we endure. Amen? You know, some people, they don't go in a certain direction because they say, I can't endure, I can't go through this, but they stop becoming a what? Partaker of the divine nature. Relationships, watch out, single people. Be very careful about relationships. Is the person that you want to have a friendship with, a participator and a partaker of the divine nature? Or are you just looking at her human nature or his human nature, how he looks, handsome and wonderful, beautiful, pretty, does all the right things, and then you enter into a relationship based upon something other than what's their divine nature like? Are they fellowshipping with God? Is the Holy Spirit reigning in their life? Some people got better friends in the world than they have in the church.
Ooh, somebody laughed with that one.
Yeah, they got better friends. Yeah. Nah, you know, Christians, you know. Well, maybe you got burnt one time. Do you remember? I've been burnt plenty of times. But I like fire. Keep coming, right? Partaker of the divine nature. God says, I've got grace for you. You live in fear because you're a partaker of human nature. You live in love and you get delivered from fear because you're living as a partaker of the divine nature. Are you with me? We partake of sin or we partake of mercy. Hello? So important to just be this partaker of God's divine nature. And we are guaranteed of escape. We're guaranteed to escape the corruption that's in the world through wrong thinking. Let us realize how much wrong thinking is out there. How many people have how many solutions to how many problems, and it's all what? Wrong thinking. His soul needs to be delivered. His soul needs to be delivered. Just in closing, Ezra chapter 9, they're in Babylon, and they're in captivity for 70 years. And the Babylonian mindset could easily become the children of Israel's mindset. But you know what Ezra 9:8 says? For a little space, grace was shown us from the Lord our God to give us a remnant to escape. A remnant to escape. I want to be part of the remnant that escapes. Even in Christianity today, there's churches, it isn't line upon line, precept upon precept. It isn't doctrine. It's just kind of some nice little devotional, emotional, devotional thing. I want to be taught the Bible. Amen? I want to be taught line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. I want to know the doctrine. I want to have patterns of thinking in Philippians, where it's used about 9 times. Why? Because that's the only way. Churches without emphasis on the scriptures are never going to get me or help me to escape the corruption that's in this world through lust. Not going to happen. I want to be in my Bible. I want to be under preaching and teaching. I want to be in a place where there's a vision. Don't you love it that you're a part of a mission of 768 churches? Huh? In 80 countries, 79 possibly, depending upon what day it is. No, it's awesome to be a part of that. To be a partaker of the mission, of the evangelism, of the desire to reach people, of training young people in a Christian school, having a Bible school. And though we might be small and compared to some of those so-called mega churches, yet that's not the important thing. The important thing is we are partakers of his divine nature. His word reveals his nature. His body reflects his nature. His gospel renews people and saves people into his nature. Let's be a people who continue to be partakers of the divine nature. And the escape will be simple. You won't have to try to escape. All you have to do is be a receiver from God. And the escape will just happen. It'll be like things just falling off. Amen? Father, thank you today. The Galileans escaped the fishing business. And a life where all they were considered was ignorant and unlearned men, and they escaped. All they had to do was just receive from Jesus. It's a receiver. A receiver. He's a partaker. She's a partaker. Teenagers, partakers of the divine nature. Otherwise, they're going to partake in a lot of stuff that's out there. There's a lot of stuff out there to lure young people in. May they be receivers and partakers of the divine nature. No sense looking behind. No sense sitting in the plain, but escape to the mountain of who God is. We thank you today. We pray, God, as Paul escaped in Acts 16, the prison was shaken to its foundation and they escaped. As they escaped off of the boat in Acts 27, time and time again, Moses escaped Egypt. Jeremiah escaped. People that were trying to kill him in Jeremiah 1, escaping. We don't escape by just getting involved with some good worldly thing. We escape by being partakers of the divine nature. We escape. We escape. Thank you that we have escaped eternal death through salvation. Thank you that we escape the world through the body of Christ. Thank you that we escape human reason by the Bible. Thank you that we escape a temporal purpose life through an eternal purpose. Thank you that we escape all the news that's going on around the world. All people talk about what's going on. How about talking about the good news? The gospel. Thank you, God. We can be partakers of your divine nature. If you are here today or you're watching online, listening somehow, simply say, Jesus, I want to escape. You're unsaved. You're lost. You're without Christ. You may be religious, but you do not know God. Simply say, Jesus, save me. Come into my life and live in me. Give me the person of the Holy Spirit. I want to escape sin and hell, a separation from God forever. I want to escape. And I want to be a partaker, which will make me an escaper. Help us, God. That's your prayer today with our eyes closed, our heads bowed, in the audience or on the internet. Just acknowledge it to God, however you would. But raising your hand, saying just simply, yes, God. And as a Christian, as a believer, help me, God, to be a partaker. There'll never be an escape without being a partaker. It'll just be business as usual. But I want to be an escaper from being a partaker. Thank you, God, for each one that's here this morning. Bless our time today. In Jesus' name, amen.